from.
We'll call the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, October 9, 2019 to order at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation. Jurgens Hill, Tiemann, Doran, Byers, and Lytle. First up, the consent agenda. A general agenda, approved minutes of the meeting held September 25th, 2019. Approve all claims through October 9th, 2019 in the amount of $516,638.62. Accept claim number 19100083 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $1,398.94. And claim number 19100084 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $3,468.11 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report, register of deeds fee report for the month of September 2019. Approve utility permit number 1140 to Norris Public Power. We'll be boring a 7.2 kilovolt electric line encased in a 2-inch core flex pipe 5 feet below bottom of ditch and under South 134th Road for 66 feet, located 1,940 feet south of the northeast quarter, section 29, and northwest quarter, section 28, township 5 north, range 8 east.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Any discussion? Vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing no public, we'll move on to approve or disapprove claim number 19100083 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $1,398.94.
Vote to approve. Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Hill. Any discussion? Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 19100084. To Johnny's Welding, the amount of $3,468.11. This brings the total amount of claims approved through October 9th, 2019 to $521,505.67.
I would move to approve claim number 19100084 to Johnny's Welding, the amount of $3,468.11.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Discussion? Vote. 5 in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Committee reports, building and ground, winter lights.
Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is that time of year again. We have the snow removal bids on the agenda today, and winter lights is coming up. I did turn on the winter lights probably Monday morning, early morning, walked around the building, and everything looks good there. That's always a good sign that we don't have to drive around the building with the heavy equipment to repair anything. Last year they did, Sean replaced all of the light bulbs with the LED lights again and put new zip ties on all the fasteners, so everything looked good, so it'll be just the trees this year. West garage remodel, I gave an update on that. They do have the front enclosed, and the 2x4s and the offices are all up. There hasn't been any drywall started yet. But they're moving right along with that. They did talk to, we've been talking to Diode and Midwest Door. They actually make a door frame that has that little piece of conduit for a card reader. So Todd is talking to them to make sure we get the correct door frame for that. Noakes has been over there kind of mapping out the duct work. So that's moving right along. Windows, February glass, Todd did give some measurements for that on the original drawing. The windows actually went up a little bit higher. They went up past that 8-foot ceiling. And so windows will be ordered a little bit narrower for these windows. Sheriff's office, or excuse me, detention center. last year we switched out Southwest 6. There were some issues with the old lights in the cells, and so they had to switch out the whole cell block with new lights, and we're ready to do that in Northwest 6. Now there's two cells that each have issues with the lights, so we'll have to just do the whole thing again when we do that cell block, and I imagine that will continue. You know, every once in a while as a light will go out, just have to replace the whole lighting system in those cells. Greg Dennis, I talked to him, he apologized, he was going to be down here actually last week, and he said the rain has delayed him. I think they're doing work, I believe, north of Omaha. And I said, well, I said, that's probably okay because it's been raining down here quite a bit too. So he is planning on hopefully maybe towards the end of this week or beginning of next week to come down.
Will the cooler temperatures affect him at all?
No. No, it should be good. They just, mainly the rain will more than anything. But they've worked before in October and I think even in November. And as long as it's warm during the daytime, they don't have any issues with that setting up.
Well, it doesn't rain around here, so it shouldn't be a problem.
And maybe this year they can spray the, when they wash a wall, they can just spray it and let the rain wash it.
Our problem here is it rains inside the courthouse as well as outside.
Veterans Office, I have been working there. They have a new computer that the veteran can come right in and talk directly to the doctors at the hospital, so Bill asked if I could just create a little wall space in there for privacy, so it's just a little 6-foot by 8-foot wall in the west corner, and I just need to put one more coat of mud on that and hang the door, and that'll be done. And last thing is cold weather coming up. I better get started on this alley project. I kind of put that on hold to the north of the detention center to do some work there to get that ready before the snow starts flying.
That's this week?
Yes. Well, I better start today.
Since the deputies really aren't very busy, couldn't they come out and help you on that alley project?
That would be nice.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good thing.
And that is all I have at this time.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization.
Everything's equal.
Finance and insurance.
One large ticket item. Gantra sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $47,412.92.
Pretty weak emphasis there, Terry.
Is that something neat?
One other thing for equalization, if I can get a feeling from you guys, during budget time, CASA asked for $10,000. The Children's, what's CASA stand for? Children's Advocate Service.
Court
Appointed
Special Advocate.
There we go. I knew, I thought of it as the advocates. Court Appointed Special Advocates. At that time, we said we could move money back into that if we wanted to fund them. We need to give them an answer. Do you guys want to fund CASA, or are we going to pass? Are we going to give them partial funding?
Counselor?
Well, again, we haven't had CASA for several years. It got started again about 2 years ago. The CASA representative from Jefferson County, Don Cook, came over, talked to the judges, and particularly it's the county judge where we have the juvenile court system. And he did a good job. Then, you know, some of the folks that he had working for him didn't pan out. We got a new director. She's doing a real good job, Amber Lovett. I have no doubt she's going to continue to do a good job. But as far as they do provide a good service, there's no question about it. But as far as funding, I'll leave that to you guys. But I would tell you it is a good service. There's no question. She's got, the key is finding people that will go out, meet with the kids, meet with the families, stay involved. And a lot of the people that work for the CASA are volunteers. So I think a lot of the money here is for administration to help continue the project, the program, and keep it on track, if you will, with the court. So, again, good program. It is now, and I think Amber will continue that. But
I would move that we continue the program with CASA.
And that was my understanding of our discussion. We did have kind of a roundabout discussion, but I thought at the end we agreed to fund it.
Well, I don't know if you've funded it in the past. You know, I think this is a new request. Yeah. They do, Israel had asked for, where they get their funding. I talked with the director of this stationed out of York, and she sent us some information. And basically, it's 501c3. So they will be involved, and in fact, Ms. Lovett was involved with that big give campaign that we had 2-3 weeks ago here in Gage County. They received some money. Again, I think as they get more publicity and they're able to do more as far as getting the word out with the media, they'll continue to get more funding too.
And that's the thing. We haven't funded them for quite some time, so... I asked Roger for a recommendation. Him being an attorney, he told me nothing. he gave information just like this, but he said the funding's up to the board, so I just wanted to bring it to the board so we can give them an answer, yes or no. I knew...
How much is the funding?
They're asking for $10,000.
And where are we going to get it? Where are we going to pull it?
Miscellaneous general.
Will repeat my motion to approve.
Can we vote in without a line item on the agenda? Can we vote on that?
Well, it's a budgetary item. Although you basically, Don has to be comfortable with that. But I think if you're going to designate that, you probably should set it for the next hearing and put an agenda item on it.
Yeah.
Because that gives supervisors an opportunity to think about what they want to do.
Okay, I will withdraw my motion.
Is that the intent of the board, is to fund that? But she just wants an answer, an idea.
They have a meeting today or tonight, and she wanted to be able to relay the information.
I mean, we obviously can't say without a vote, but I mean, just the intent, just so we can give her an idea.
I guess my one question is there a requirement that they get matching funds from the counties that they serve?
There's no requirement. They just asked for funding. Their funding will come from a lot of different sources. Maybe with this, I would say Amber is going to do a really good job at whatever she works on, would be my assumption.
They do a wonderful job. They're a wonderful organization. They're very top quality, and I think if we can, we should fund them.
Well, we'll kind of pass that along to them, that it sounds favorable, and we'll vote on this at our next regularly scheduled meeting then. Human Resources, Employee Relations. Law Enforcement Emergency Management.
Well, Dave, you covered law enforcement for Gus, so I guess, Lisa, you got anything you want to add?
Just briefly.
The creek watered up still?
Yeah, I walked the river lines yesterday. What's amazing is how much the bank lines have changed. You know, there's a lot of 10 to 15 foot of bank line that's moved down along Plucknitz and entered there. I mean, they're seeing some drastic washouts. And so we did have stream gauge, you know, on South 6 again that does the stable, what we call, I think it's called a stabilizer line. Ended up washing out, but that was strictly from stumps and stuff washing down. So I think we're in for a challenge with all the debris that has to still move down Riverside. So you'll see on South 6, I think today, if the water's down far enough, Natural Resources will be there, hopefully getting that stabilizer line down. Otherwise, what we'll do is if we have any water issues, we'll just manually read off of the dauber on the center point. So. Biggest thing is I did ask inquire about the possibility of getting a laser, reader there. And they're telling me with the way the bridge moves, you know, and jumps back and forth, that lasers probably wouldn't, you know, catch a point. Because when a truck goes off of there, that old bridge really does move if you're standing there. So that's one of those things that And obviously with laser equipment, you have to have the funding in place. That's not our, you know, that's not our cost in mind. But so FEMA would cover that in terms of for the National Department of Resources, Nebraska Resources.
When we're taking those manual readings, do you take those readings?
Do.
So you're leaning off the side of the bridge?
Not very far. No, not really. They actually, there's a... come along sometime, I guess, is the easiest thing. There's a box in the middle, and it's on a dauber situation that it just goes down, and then it's got a reader, so you're not hanging over, but just a little bit.
So
you have a life jacket on? I don't know. I remember when we redid the sidewalks on that bridge. It was special.
So, you'll see some work. Hopefully they can get that done today, just as moving forward. I did want to bring you up on the radios. I know there's been some questions as how where are we at on the radio system for the county. Right now, we're in the waiting game with licensing and also with the OCIO. The console that's down at dispatch is actually hooked to the statewide system, and so they have to give their approval to get all the frequencies programmed into there. So, as Carla would tell you, we're just a waiting game right now in terms of how soon we can start testing. So,
what's the OCIO?
That's a statewide, it's an acronym, but it is your statewide system, the operational incidental something.
I like to know what things mean.
I'll get back to you on that acronym,
okay.
The CIO. But that's really all I have. I was also here just to listen to see if there was any open comments coming in on zoning issues coming up. So that was it. Thanks.
Do we know where the sheriff is today?
Training.
Chief deputy?
Who?
It's people that work across the street, wear a badge.
We haven't had anyone present for several meetings.
It's so nice and quiet.
I think they should be notified that they should be here or have a representative here for our meeting.
Road and Bridge.
Round 3 of the Bridge Match Program. The two accepted were Hidden Acres, right west of Hidden Acres, and Bridge to Holmesville. These projects will go out for bid soon. Round 4 is working on those. The list in the package includes 2 bridge sites, 3 box culvert sites, 3 culvert sites. Discussion also on asphalt mill overlay, Holmesville Road, Coke Road, and Pick Road East.
We did a really good job on those, I see. So be thinking about that. We'll be getting some information from Galen on those 2 potential roads or any other potential roads that may need repair. I know that one's getting pretty rough, it sounds like, by Coke.
Can't be as rough as Hoy Road used to be.
Probably not that rough. No, it's still better than that. We have a couple presentations today. We have a 9:15 timed event, so we will give... we will give Angie an allotment of 9 minutes.
You just know I like to talk a lot, so...
Well, we try to put something behind you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you guys all have copies of... I think John was going to hand it out. I'm Angie Bruna, the director of the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce and Gage County Tourism, and I want to introduce our new tourism coordinator formally. Kristen Jensen started with us August 26th, so she's had about a month and a half in already, and excited to see where she goes. She is a recent graduate of SCC, loved the community so much, decided to stay here, and we snatched her up, and she's already gotten her feet wet with making some connections and tours getting scheduled, and has attended our first tourism advisory committee meeting. So really starting to get her into the swing of things with tourism. I don't know if you guys want to have her say anything or take it easy on her today.
If she has anything to share, I'm sure that'd be fine.
I'm just looking forward to working on bringing more people to Gage County.
Where are your roots?
I moved here from Superior, Nebraska for college, so I'm just
a resident. Okay, so you should be a Superior employee for us, right?
What's that?
You should be a Superior employee.
Yes, absolutely. I'll try my best.
You hear Walker start to cry. We're glad to have you on board. Good luck.
Glad to be here. So we'll just kind of recap a few things that we've been working on tourism-wise. Ultimately, our goal of tourism always is increased visitorship. And then ultimately, it would be ideal if we can increase the overnight stays in our hotel industry, because that's where our lodging tax dollars come from, which turns around and let us do more marketing and promotions. And the Visitor Improvement Fund grants funding sources come from that as well. July, I apologize, it's a shorter list, just with the transition from when Courtney left and starting with Kristen. I didn't have all the details on everything that Courtney was doing in July. I'm sure the list is much longer. To recap, though, I know we did Heritage Highway meetings, and the Byway Bingo promotion is going on. That's with Byway 136. It goes border to border across the state, trying to get people into the attractions along the Byway. I know that there's efforts within the group. We'd like to see it advertised as an alternate route to Colorado. Instead of going up to I-80 and across, let's have everybody swing down. If they pop on at Lincoln or Omaha, come down, come through Beatrice, go out across on 136. Also in the works, planning for the ABA on the road. The ABA is American Bus Association. They have their national conference in Omaha this year. It's the first time it's been in Omaha, I think, ever. So it's a great opportunity to get in front of tour operators and really looking at having a presence there. We're partnering with Friends of Homestead to have a booth presence. And then they describe it as kind of speed networking or speed dating with tour operators. So we'll get one-on-one opportunities to hand out a sheet that says this is why you should come to Beatrice or Southwest Nebraska. So we're working on details with that. We had several meetings in helping with or in conversation about Oktoberfest at Stone Hollow, attending tourism webinars through the state, and Gage County Fair was in July. Those were some of the high points there. Then in August, unfortunately, Courtney's last day happened, and then everything was kind of a whirlwind for a while. But we did interviews, and I'm excited to work with Kristen as we move forward and have her put her pitch and spin on things too with tourism. We went to the Beatrice City Council meeting in August for the holiday lighted parade to request closures. That event is going to happen. Again, it'll be our fifth annual holiday lighted parade, so it's kind of fun that it's 5 years in the making. And now we've added in a holiday lighted tour where people can. We won't publish names, we'll just put addresses on a map, so if you want to have your name or your address listed, and then we get phone calls regularly at the Chamber and Tourism Office, where are the best lights to go look at in town? So we're going to put that all on a map. This will be the second year we've done that. We'll have those ready to distribute at the parade. Our goal is to have those ready on December 1st. We're also doing Fantasy of Trees again, and we're partnering with Indian Creek Mall this year, so the trees will be out at the mall instead of at the Carnegie Building. So we're looking for some things to fill in at the Carnegie. The parade starts at 5:30, and then we'll also go have Santa after the parade, like we've done in the past. The reindeer are coming back, so it'll be a great day. Snow or shine, is like what I like to say. Snow or shine, have the parade, if anybody asks. We've attended things like new student orientation at SCC, and then SCC Week of Welcome event, where we distributed visitor bags to students and parents. In those bags, we have Southeast Nebraska guides, visitor guides for Gage County, and then some other information about the community and things that students can do when they're on their downtime, when they're not in class studying. We hosted fall forums, and the governor was in town, so that was kind of fun to have some publicity for a positive reason here in Beatrice and Gage County on that. And then we had some great publicity, too, with Beatrice Daily Sun and with the radio station when Andrew and Kristen started. So just helping, I think all those things come together for increasing awareness of tourism in Gage County. Just this month, or I guess September, calendar switched. September, we've had holiday parade meetings. Kristen's been on the radio twice now with me, so She's going to be a seasoned vet on that before too long. We attended several ribbon cuttings. We have the list in the report there. Attended the Big Give Gage event, doing lots of training meetings so that we make sure that we're on the right track with everything for tourism. We have done, Kristen attended Business After Hours with me, and she's met many folks through that endeavor. I think that's going to be the biggest part, is just building those relationships and getting the connections made. I know we have plans to put together itineraries of what people can do in the community, whether you're planning a day trip. When I say community, I mean countywide for tourism. It's not just the actors. Let me clarify that. But that whether you're looking for historical type attractions, whether you're looking for historical mixed with outings and experience type of thing, day trips, weekend trips, we're looking to put some of those kind of things together. And then we've had several groups we're working with, the Singles and Ag Group. I think it's this weekend or next weekend they'll be in town for their conference. Coming up next year early, we have the Nebraska Blacksmiths and Welders Association that are going to be in Gage County. And then we are in the midst of working with Beatrice Hoops on the BNIT tournament on November 9th. So there's a few things that we're making happen, but it's been a lot of fun and excited to see where we go.
Any idea on your number of teams on the Hoops tournament?
So,
and that is being done a little differently. I don't know if you want to.
It is being done a little differently. So the Beatrice Hoops program is the one coordinating the registration. I haven't heard where they're at yet. I know that they were working on the registration forms and getting those out. Last year, I think we had about 50 teams, I think it was, something like that.
I bet it's more this year.
I think so. So last year, it was the first year we switched the date, and so now people are looking for it in November instead of in February or late January. So.
Well,
you guys are roughing this year?
I'll be there cheering on as a kid, but I don't think you want me out there roughing. I'm just like, I don't like what you're doing. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We put together the program, so we are doing the selling some sponsorships and ads to go along with that. So that will be the fundraising piece for tourism to put together the program. Then the folks can take.
New staff, new ideas. We're expecting big things, so welcome. And are there any other questions for Angie or Kristen?
Are you going to go over the fund budget and visitors improvement fund budget?
So the visitor improvement fund, I included that sheet that shows kind of the projects that have been approved over the last year. We do have a couple of attempts to apply that have been done, and then I believe we received one follow-up grant completely written, so I think we're going to look at that at this month's meeting. Lodging tax dollars, it's exciting to see when you're up by 24%, so we're on the right track somewhere. So for the 2018-2019 year, we had $75,120.69 in lodging tax that was collected. Take that number times two was the overall amount. It's kind of confusing. But so that was up 24% from 2017-18, which is very nice to see. I think we're on the right track for getting the message out for people to stay and developing those partnerships. Any specific questions you have?
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you and welcome, Kristen. We're glad to have you.
I ask for a motion to put that report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Hill. Vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. We have a timed event now at 9:15 to need a motion to close, accept, reject, or award snow removal bids. I guess close for now.
Move to close all bids.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Hill to close snow removal bids. Vote. 6 in favor. Do we have any bids?
I could be mean and say no. We have one. I think that goes to Denny, I guess.
Sharon Denny.
Thank you.
county courthouse and county properties. And that bid is from Beatrice Lawn Care Incorporated. The contractor's signature was Joe Armstrong. The amount of the bid, lump sum dollar proposal for less than 600 of snowfall, 625, 625. Lump sum dollar proposal for more than 6 inches of snowfall, 895. Spreading ice melt and gravel in the parking lot areas, if needed, 245. The sidewalks for less than 6 inch snowfall, 600. Lump sum for more than 6 inches, 849. This is the only bid that we have. Dave, do you have any comments on that?
The main difference would be on the more than 6 inches. Did go up $100. Otherwise, the rest of them stayed pretty much the same. And I can see why that one probably did go up, because when we did have the more than 6 inches, it seemed like it took a lot of work last year. They spent a lot of time here. But otherwise, there's just a slight increase on the sidewalks. I still try to do as much of the sidewalk work as I can. I know last year with the heavy snows, we did have to get on to help us out with that. And the gravel is always nice that they spread gravel. They have a nice, you know, smaller equipment. We used to have the highway department do it, and with the big truck, it was hard for them to get into the parking lot. So this is a nice, even application.
Do you want to review that first, or do you want to make a recommendation? Sometimes with other bids, we have like Galen review it and come back, or
I would recommend this single bid. I would say on lawn mowing bids, I do have more interest from other people. Snow removal, we don't. Like last year, we were really put to the test on large amounts of snow, and it seemed like we survived, so everything went good.
And then disclosure, this is one of my companies, so just to put that in the open. We have one bid. I guess I would, with Dave's recommendation, I would ask for a motion to accept or reject this snow removal bid.
I would move to accept the bid.
Second.
Moved by Beyer, second by Dorn, to accept the snow removal bid. Vote. 5 in favor with Team and abstaining. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Do you want to sign this?
Here.
Gary. We have Gary sign that. Okay. Yes, sir.
Just that information piece here. OCIO stands for Office of Chief Information Officer.
Office of Chief Information Officer.
Not everybody knows.
I've got a written note here, so I won't forget.
At least I wanted to pass that along.
Outstanding. We have another quarterly report. I'm kind of excited for this one, just like I was the last one as well.
Wow.
Walker Sikowski, wow. Executive Director.
That goes to Gary.
Well, I get excited for these quarterly reports to see what's going on.
Angie is great to work with, by the way.
More tickets.
So where are you in a second?
Have him as a vice.
Sorry, there's some conflict on a signature here.
I know.
Some people's kids.
And just while we're waiting, everyone has the Engage report here also.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I'll just kind of hit my highlights, but pepper me with questions, because whatever you want to hear, I'm happy to tailor this report to whatever you want.
Supervisor Juergens, we talked beforehand, he said what is coming, not what has happened. So if you can tell us what's going to happen.
He wants to know the super secret stuff, right?
Yeah. All except the super secret.
Yeah. Corporate farming, a couple of big welding companies we're working with.
Which has been busy. So we're at Q1, I guess, as we report to you. So we're into the second year of, or the second year of our second three-year term or three-year agreement with you guys. So this is Q1 of year two. We've just been on the road a lot of planning and there's a lot of logistics that have been on in the last couple months. But October's manufacturing month, so we've been working really closely with our larger manufacturers to just bring awareness to all that's going on out there, and hopefully we can get some kids and some folks to take interest to staying here and working here in Gage County. I feel like we're getting a better process down with all these school students to get them in and see all the opportunities that they can work in these manufacturing settings, and it's not just very sinking heavy manufacturing. They can work in assembly line, they can work on machining, they can work in the office or marketing or sales or travel, they can do all sorts of stuff. So we've just been trying to bring awareness to all those opportunities for some students. We just celebrated our official manufacturing day last Thursday. We kicked it off at Precise Fabrication. The governor actually came down as part of his roadshow to celebrate Manufacturing Month. And, we had 40 kids, 28 from Beatrice and 12 from Southern, attend not only the Precise tour of the governor, but then also we went to Exmark and Yaco and Landmark Snacks. So, four really good companies that are really invested in growing Gage County, and so we want to make sure that we bring awareness to the good things they're doing out there and how they're good partners to us. Some other stuff we've been working on a lot too is housing study. We had our first steering committee. We have some surveys that will go out here pretty soon. We have two different surveys. One will be a citizen survey, and it's just a lot of questions about do they live here? If they do live here, are they looking at changing houses? What are they looking for? We want to make sure that we have the inventory on the market that people are looking for, so they can live here. Is it in the price range that they're looking for? Is it the location they're looking for? So we just really want to get a pulse on the market with the citizen survey, and then also we're going to send out another survey to all of our manufacturers, and so we can get their workforce to take the survey too. And that's the key one: are they driving in for work, or if they are, where are they driving from? How far are they driving from? And if they would live here, what would take for them to live here? And so, obviously, if we want to grow the population in Gage County, we need to figure out a place to raise folks to live and be prepared for it. So, that'll be the next key thing that goes out are these surveys. They're done. We have just peppered a lot of guys with a lot of questions and a lot of requests over the last month. And so, we'll put those out here probably next week or the week after, just because we're still hot off the heels of Manufacturing Day. Plus, we have another event coming up tomorrow where we're doing some more tours with our manufacturers, with some counselors and teachers from, I think it's like 16 area schools. So just asking a lot of these guys right now, have them fill out surveys and just trying to take it one piece at a time. Those are our two main big things we're working on. We're also working on recertification. So the City of Beatrice is a certified economic development community. We have to do that certification every 5 years, and we're up for the applications due in November. And it's tons of pages of information we have to have ready for them. And to be a certified community, it's important for, it's important for the county, but you only get access to some certain incentives or programs that you can use at the state level if you're a certified community. So we make sure that we get that application filled out the best we can. So there's been a lot of time and effort into that lately. And you can see from travel, we've just been on the road a ton. I mean, going all the way back to July, it was the Economic Development Summit. We've had a site consultant in town. Just tons of stuff. I mean, we've been in Chicago, getting ready to go to Germany. As far as upcoming stuff, like I said, Germany, the Education Quest event, which is tomorrow, so we'll have more manufacturing tours. Lieutenant Governor is actually going to come for a visit next week. He was in town for some recognition things at BSDC, and so we had him come a little bit early. We'll have him be a speaker at Kiwanis on Wednesday. Media, and if anybody else wants to attend Kiwanis on Wednesday, we'll have Foley there too. So just trying to make sure that our state leaders know that there's good things happening here and getting them in front of our citizens and keep telling our story. So with that, I will entertain questions, and you guys have lots of questions.
Welcome.
What are you doing in cooperation with the city or others on the Storecraft property?
So, it's funny, we did a bunch of DREs last month. This is part of our application for a certified community. We have to do so many DREs a year, and so we've hit our goal for a year already. And I would say the number one question we got from everyone to us was, what's going on with Storecraft? We met with them in, what we've heard is any day they're supposed to start. We're originally going to start with some housing, some apartment complexes, and the city's looking at some different plots and making sure that they can break it up into segments and start with some housing stuff or, you know, just how they can develop that property. But we've asked them to, get the weeds knocked down, get it cleaned up, and at least make it look presentable. So.
Yeah, I'm hearing from people constantly, how come we don't mow down the weeds? It just looks terrible. It's not an impressive thing for the city of Beatrice to drive by that and see that crap.
Well, there's plenty of lawnmowers in town, so if you want to grab one, I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you went to work on it for a little bit.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll keep telling them to.
Do I get paid minimum wage or something greater than that? Or do I get paid like a chamber employee?
Volunteer.
Oh, okay. The mountains.
What are some things that people can see currently? Like in the industrial park, there's ground broke on a new building. They poured footings yesterday.
So the new one went up in the industrial park. Par Machine, Brad Parr, he's a little machine shop. He was, he's originally from this area, but has been running his business in like north of Winter Park, Colorado for probably 20 some years, and is actually moving that back here. So he bought a little bit of ground next to another building that just went up in the industrial park last year, just across the street from Tina on the south side of, it used to be across the street from Titan IDC. What's your address? Centennial?
Yeah, Centennial.
Centennial and Ashland.
Just south of Sargent, about a block.
Yeah, so there'll be a, it's not a giant building, maybe 3,000 to 5,000 square foot building, something like that, like 5,000 square foot building. So you'll see some activity out there. Continue to push the rest of the industrial park. We have some good leads with some companies. I think we've said here we're probably close to 20 companies that are looking at doing some expansion in the area. And we're just trying to continue to be on the radar. I think a lot of the other activity too is just what's going on like with Main Street and what's happening with like the Mercantile building and Mechanical Room open up in Stone Hollow and the little art studio. And there's just a lot of net business gain. I think there's been some folks have been a little upset with some of the circumstances with companies closing or businesses shutting. I mean, every one of those has their own circumstances, and they're all very legitimate reasons. I don't think it's our economy at all. It's just some people can't pay their bills, or it's a family issue, whatever it is. Like, it's not on our economy. I think it's really strong right now. Manufacturing economy is really strong right now. But in terms of net gains, the businesses, there's still some gains.
Are we cooperating and doing anything? Our east end of Beatrice is empty. You drive by buildings one after the other, empty. And you go downtown, and I know Main Street is an excellent organization, but we've got business after business that's closed. There are empty buildings. There are just nothing but used things down there.
On Main Street?
What are we doing?
On Main Street?
Yes.
Well, I think that's where I said, like, the net gain. There's still a net gain of businesses. There's still, 200-some businesses just around the Main Street district. I think it's what I always tell people is, like, if you drive down the street and you don't see any yellow Jeeps, but I tell you to look at a yellow Jeep or find a yellow Jeep, you'll probably see five of them. I think if you're looking for closed businesses, you're probably going to see them. If you're looking at businesses that are open, you're going to see them, too. And there's been some good things happening. And then just what's happened in the Mercantile building just itself is just crazy. And it bookends with what's going on with Colleen's and Vintage Venue. And then, as we look to see in between, there's good stuff. I was looking at Brick and Mortar co-working the other day. That was a building that was sat empty for quite a while. Now you got Krista's in there with Brick and Mortar, Realty, Casa's in there, which you guys are looking at funding, which I'm totally in favor of, by the way. They're a great organization. There's a huge need for that.
And then who else just went in there? Blue Valley, I think, just went in there. And then plus we just have some people with some debt. Is that right? Public Health Solutions. That would be another building that's had to that now is full. There's decals all through the window.
Public Health Solutions moved
Public
in
Health
there?
Solutions.
Their Healthy Families America program.
Oh, I know. I was on their board. I didn't know.
That's, I guess, what I hear the most is, why are all the businesses closing? And it's easy to get, anytime there's something negative, bad news spreads quick and people talk about that. But I guess that was one thing I was hoping you would talk about is there are businesses opening. Hopefully on the east side of town we'll see some more action in the next, you know, in the next year.
We get some small businesses through the retail. We just put a business, they just signed a contract to go into a building within the on Fifth Street. Someone in there. I saw in the credit bulletin the other day that there's another company that, or lady that we're working with that decided to move here from Texas, and she bought a building on the east side of downtown on Main Street. So she's looking at doing something cool and play all that stuff. But yeah, she's going to have a little business in there, and there'll be residents too. So I think over the next couple of years, you'll continue to see it develop. Downtown is only escalating. It's getting better and better. And with our housing stuff, we hope that we'll see one. I mean, we think that there's a need for upper level housing, but we specifically are putting that on the surveys to see if there is, how much of a need that is. And if there is a need, we have a lot of companies that are interested that follow a lot of these housing studies and chase different incentives or credits or tax advantages, looking at those. And so if there is a need, then I think then we'll be able to put that information in front of them too.
And Walker, obviously, with new businesses, there's always a lot of turnover. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a number out there as far as how many of them survive for 2 or 3 years or longer.
It's like 1 in 10 small businesses that starts and ends.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is to be expected. I mean, you know, the more concerns it's long-term business closing. And, I mean, we start to hear about something else causing this, but it's just always long-term.
Yeah, and I think, so that's why it's important, like, all of us understanding different organizations of like what our role is in the community and economic development. You know, our main focus really is primary jobs and manufacturing and heavy industry. Because you think that if you continue to get an X marker and you have to precise or hybrid or, you know, par machine, all these things to continue to invest out in the industrial part, that's truly what's spinning out to make the secondary businesses work. So we're going to have 10 small businesses that start, but they wouldn't have started unless you had, you know, companies continue to expand out there. So I always have to remember at the end of the day, we can get sucked into all these different ways of doing, but our major time really is out in the industrial park and working, you know, Xmark's doing a $12 million expansion that's days away from moving into this beautiful building that was, you know, nothing like it is now. I mean, now it's really, really class one office space. It's beautiful. We just did an audit out there the other day with the state because the state gave them some money from their site and building development fund in relocating all the companies that were in there before and be able to retain those jobs and those companies here was really important. But as they continue to expand, as Xmark expands and Precise expands with them, and then Ford Atlantic or Worth Adams or, I can't think, a lot of these other companies that are here because of some of these other industries, they continue to expand along with them. And it's got to remember, at the end of the day, that's who we're working with, because then the more people that are working in these large industries, they're going to get married, they're going to have kids, there's going to be better, more need for the school, there's going to be more of a demand for restaurants or small businesses or clothing and all this other stuff. So, you know, if we focus on that, hopefully that triple net effect continues to happen.
Has anybody done a study or is anybody going to do a study on where the people that are working in these industries live?
That's what we're asking that in our housing study.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see where they live, where they're commuting from, how far they're commuting from, where they live in now, how much are they making? How much can they afford? How much do they want to be able to afford? You know, we're asking that question.
Because early in the morning, you see a tremendous flood of cars coming in from Lincoln, coming in from the north. And then you see a tremendous flood of cars going out late in the afternoon.
And I'd be curious to see. I mean, I'm always working on the numbers that I've known like since last time that this happened. But I think there was like a net 2,500 people out of the county per day, which a lot of people think.
Well, I know you're doing a good job and working hard, and I'm very proud of what our chamber is doing, and keep it up.
You know, I think right now, and we kind of have a little private event here coming up, too, to just talk with a lot of our boards and leaders and some folks about how we kind of realign, because over like the last 5 years, I think that, you know, the chamber, the Main Street, the school board, I mean, you guys, the city council, everyone is, I think, becoming more aligned and understanding that although we're all on our own highway, they're all leading to the same place, but understanding that which way we're going to get there is everyone making sure that we do what we each need to do. And I think now is the time to come together and say, okay, how do we continue all do what we're supposed to be doing with a one common goal at the end? But I don't think 5 years ago we could have had that conversation. I think now that we're staffed appropriately, people understand our roles and how we're all kind of carrying our own water pails. And I think we just ride this wave as long as we can, because 5 years ago I think that would have been a hard conversation to have. There was some more headwind.
There's definitely better communication and agreement between everyone now than there was not that many years ago.
Appreciate you guys' support and comments. If you want some of you guys stop in, I appreciate that a ton. I love visitors. I love direction. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, we have an open door. We have an open office. Stop in whenever you can.
Any other questions for Walker? I'd ask for a motion to place his report on file. Thank you, Walker.
Thanks, guys.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lyle, second by Byers. Place Walker's report on file. Vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove the Gage County Public Defender Agreement for July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020. You've all been given a copy of that contract. Did I say the wrong year? Oh, 2022, I'm sorry. I believe everything stays the same other than a significant increase in compensation, which would be under item 2. That went up from, do we have the last, was that 143,000? 149,000 was the last year's agreement.
So 16,000.
Mr. Timon's increased that by $16,000 a year for the next 3 years. I asked Roger if we've increased our workload or anything, because if you look at our claims as they go through, we outsource public defenders to other lawyers on a regular basis. I guess we can look at this. I would like to see a more modest increase in this. We're not taking on any more cases because they're already at their limit. They have to outsource. They're only allowed so many each month, or not each month, but so many cases running concurrently. So I don't know. We looked at approximately 2% or so increase among other offices with no additional workload. I would think this should mirror that. We aren't exactly flush with cash reserves. I guess opinions of the board. Anyone have thoughts on this? Counselor, I don't know. This is something, I don't know how much you can say with working directly with them, or.
Well, I would just suggest if you take a moment to look at it, maybe go in a closed session, not this week, but on the next scheduled meeting, and. Well, I'll just tell you, and again, it's one of those things that part of this is driven by the rules and laws as far as the indigent people being represented by quality counsel. I would echo what Mr. Timon does do a good job. We're able to work with him. He used to have another individual with him that helped him, and they don't have that individual anymore. So I think, you know, he's probably a little more busy than he used to be, but that's by their choice. That's nothing we dictate. We basically, here's a contract and go for it. Eric's right that we have a lot of outsourcing. Unfortunately, a lot of our drug cases involve individuals that are working together, living together. And if you, the public defender's office gets one appointment, and then we got to start looking for other attorneys to represent the co-defendants. And that's what drives a lot of the outside legal counsel, quite frankly, up. And again, our office has done what we can with that as far as, you know, I'll say it, and everybody hates me for it, but we try to resolve those cases as quickly as we can through plea bargains. You don't like it, but it'd be a lot worse if we had jury trials in a week in this county. So I would just say, again, I think it's something you can look at it, and I think it would be behoove you to go ahead and maybe do a little negotiating, and I'll leave it at that.
Roger, have you reviewed this contract?
I looked at it, but we gave it to the, you know, the your review board. Remember, you have a public defender. Did we get a copy of that committee?
Yeah, this is what the committee sent back. I don't know if it is any. This is what they've sent back.
Public defender policy board report.
Right. If you don't have it, did you get a copy of that? Oh, I emailed that out, but
yeah.
You guys are worse than me at reading emails.
Public defender policy board report. They had no problem with the increase. There's also some different language for fee reimbursement for continuing education. I guess one question I would have, Roger, when they had additional staff so that they could take more caseload on, that was included in our payment we made to them.
Right.
Mr. Tymon was actually one of those people at one time working under Steph Clark, if I understand correctly.
That's correct.
So we're not only being asked to pay more, we're also giving him the opportunity to give us less by not having additional staff. Should we be potentially looking at a decrease here instead of an increase due to less staffing and less caseload potential?
I don't think they're probably less caseload. I think Mr. Tymon's handling more. I'll give you an example. I do most of the juvenile cases, and Mr. Tymon's doing virtually a lot of those. Now, Ms. Clark and Mr. Nelson help him if he's out of town or, you know, he can't be here for whatever reason. So he does have backup on that, but it's not a regular situation like when Mr. Manley was there. And but then again, that's a a decision that Mr. Tymon makes and that office makes as to how they allocate this contract amount. I think the paragraph you're looking at, the continuing ed, is basically saying we did pay for Mr. Manley's or their additional person for their continuing ed. We did reimburse that. And again, that's something, but it's not a big item.
Well, I guess we will put this on. Yes, John, or Ms. Odell.
The office as a whole can only handle one case when there's a multiple defendants. It doesn't matter if Lee has one, the other two can't take one involved in the same case. So Lee has the potential to probably do more because the office can only do one with each one. The other thing I would say, it looks like this is locked in for 3 years, right?
Correct. That's what we're
so the previous rate has been locked in for 3 years without an increase.
Right, and it had been increasing at a rate of approximately $8,000 a year.
Yep. Back before Lee, the agreement we had, contract that we signed in 2013 started out at $133,000 for the first year, increased $8,000 to $141,000, and then increased to $149,000 for the third year. And then Mr. Tymon's agreement was $149,000 for 3 years, now has increased $16,000 to $165,000 for the 3 years.
I guess my opinion would be, as we're providing public defense, that's something we need to do. I think Mr. Tymon does a good job. We haven't heard anything other than that. At the same time, I don't know that we need to. Myself, my opinion would be, I don't know that we need to give another $16,000 raise you know, for another 3 years. We're doing the same thing. We're just giving a, if we would approve this, and maybe I'm not looking at it correctly, but I'm just seeing a $16,000 raise for the same amount of work. I know our other county employees would love to get a large raise like that for the same amount of work, and we didn't give that to them. I know lawyers are special and get special treatment, but...
Outside lawyers are.
But I don't know. We'll put that on in a couple weeks then. Please review it, and we'll vote on it at that time. And if we need to, do we need to put something for exec session?
I would just, again, because you're basically negotiating with a professional, it'd be the same thing as if you were looking at an architect or an engineer. Sit down and have a heart-to-heart, get the consensus of the board. And I don't think there's any question that Mr. Tyman, he also enjoys, likes the contract, does a good job. So my suggestion would be, if you guys want to talk about it, then you sit down and talk to him. But I think it'd be better for everybody to do that in closed session and come out and say, talk to him, see if you can get a figure.
The other option would be, if we can't come to a number, this hasn't gone out to bid or anything for, do we know when we've priced this out last?
I'd have to go back and look.
It's been a long time. That'd be the other option as well. And none of this has anything to do, my comments have nothing to do with any quality of service, just strictly dollars and cents. So I guess at this time we'll push that back for a couple weeks and talk about it again then. Is there any other comment on the public defender contract? Or is there, I guess, that's just my opinion, unless someone wants to make a motion to approve or disapprove that, too.
No, I think we should wait the 2 weeks. When you look at it over a three-year contract, it's about 3% a year, which is 1% more than what we're giving our county employees.
Well, we'll move on then. Approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County, Nebraska, and the Beatrice Humane Society, Inc., for the purpose of kenneling captured and stray animals from the county. The terms of this agreement are July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020.
Good move. Yeah. I would move to approve the contract.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Any discussion on this? Seeing none, vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Anything else from the good of the order? If not, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Vote. 6 in favor, we are adjourned at 9:51 on the clock.